Last time we ended here with discussing the basic ideas of chsamim, the difference between a hadrasha, which makes a ria min haTorah, and chsamim, which are drabanan. And there are three basic kulas that exist for chsamim, 3 plus 1. The three basic kulas are that chesim is not a problem if it's on davar she'ein matabel tuma, if it's on something which is tzivonim, which is colored, or if it's less than a dris. The additional kula we mentioned, really, which is really a running theme throughout chsamim, is that there's no chiyuv tuvah. We have a policy, you don't need to know what you can't know, what you don't know can't hurt you. In many issues, that's not the case, but here it is the case. What you don't know can hurt you, and there's no need to have a concern about chsamim checking for chsamim. If they're there, we deal with them. The three chumras, on the other hand, are if a chesim is found in close proximity to either tashmish, a bedikra, or hatalas meridlayim, then the concern is maybe it's really a hardasha, and that's going to revert back to being a ria min haTorah as opposed to a ria min drabanan. In most situations, though, even though that ri'iyah might be a deraisa if we know about it, there's still no chiyuv to look. I mean, the woman does not need to check in the bathroom after she goes to the bathroom, every time before she leaves the bathroom, just to make sure that there's no dam, even though had she had dam, it might have been a problem in theory. Because here we also have the rule, what you don't know can hurt you. If you find it, we have a chashash, it might be a din tumah min haTorah. It's important to discuss this because in many areas of Hilchos Nida, it's an idea that will come up again and again. Depending on each specific person's personality, there's a predisposition for too much concern as far as Nida is concerned, bordering on obsessive compulsive disorder, specifically in areas of Taras Mishpacha. It's hard to know why that is. A noted psychologist thought perhaps the reason is there's a concern of Chiyuv Kares. Together with sexuality, those two ideas perhaps together might cause strong feelings within a person to be much more compulsive than they would be in most situations. And it's important to realize that one might have to combat with extra effort the idea that there's no need to be so extreme. If a person knows about a chesim, it's a problem, but there's no need to go above and beyond what a person knows. As we'll see in general, 99.99, it's very, very hard to deal with chiyuv kares. 99.99% of situations in Nida are chumros midrabanan to the nth degree. It's very, 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 very hard to deal with chiyuv kares altogether. So therefore, it's going to very seldom be a problem. We'll take as an example this case, let's say it's a chesim. Let's say it's a chesim. Maximum chesim is only midrabanan. So it's important to realize most situations of Nida are going to be far from the chiyuv kares altogether. And there's no need to be obsessive compulsive b'cha. There are several situations which are different than a regular normal period, which create the same status of nidus as well. The first one, of course, the normal situation is a period, then chsamim, but additional situations are, number one, birth. When a woman gives birth, birth itself, giving birth to a baby, causes a situation similar to nidus. For all intents and purposes, she is a nida. There's one exception, which is more of a pragmatic exception than a halakhic exception, that usually having dam because a woman is a nida is part of a hormonal development in the body. After it's finished, then the body's going to stop itself. But when a woman has dam after she gives birth, part of the reason she has dam is because the uterus suffered a blow. The uterus had a whole placenta and baby attached to it. Now that's ripped out. There is healing that has to take place. The uterus has to shrink back. So it's very normal for a woman's period, for a nida situation after birth, to continue for a month, for 6 weeks. That's very common. And it's not something to be alarmed about, it's very normal. So the way a woman does indeed change from tuma to tara is the exact same as nida, it'll just take a longer time for the blood to stop. There's one other caveat. Often people read the beginning of Parshas Tazria and they're concerned, oh no, it's something about 40 days, 80 days after a woman gives birth, but if you look carefully in the psukim, that's really not the case. There's a din that for 7 or 14 days a woman is tameya. After the 7 or 14 days, whether it's a boy or a girl, she's tahora no matter what we call dam tohar. Even if she's bleeding profusely like she usually is, that dam for 33 or 66 days is tohar. That Chazal took away. We don't have that period of dam tohar. So therefore, even 6 weeks later, she does have the status of Nida. But it's not that she can't go to the mikvah before 40 or 80 days. The one time, Rachmana L'Tzlan, it's Nogea, that a person needs to be aware of the 7 or 14 days that a person cannot go to the mikvah, is if, God forbid, there's a miscarriage. In such a situation, if we don't know if it's a boy or a girl, then we have to be machmir, she can't go to the mikvah before 14 days. as we'll discuss, in most situations, a woman cannot go to the mikvah before 12 days from when her period starts anyway. So it's almost halakhically irrelevant. But that's the one case. If Rechman al-Tan, a person has a miscarriage, those psukim in Parashat Tazria are nergeya, she can't immerse into the mikvah until 14 days have elapsed. Now she can't start her process. She can't go into the mikvah until 14 days afterwards. It comes up once in a while. She never knows of it. And it's interesting that the concept of taking around 6 weeks for a woman to heal after birth is something which is not only halakhic, medically also. Standard doctor's orders after a person has after a woman has a baby is that the husband and wife should abstain from intimate relations for 6 weeks. So that's because the woman's body is healing more externally, a little bit internally. It's ironic that the times approximately overlap. There's one difference, of course. If a husband and wife did not have the halakhic concerns, they could still not have any of the harchakos. Intimate physical touching would be permissible, except for real tashmish, and that, of course, the halakha restrains. But it's interesting to note, in general, the concept of 6 weeks is something which is an average both medically and lahavdil halakhically acknowledged both ways. Also, more of a shalom bayis issue rather than an issue as far as nida is, it's important to realize that having a child, whether it's the first child or the 10th child, is always a unique change. It's a change in a person's functioning. It's a change hormonally for a woman whose body was first nourishing the baby internally. Now she has to nurse. She had went through birth. Women can be very much at the mercy of hormones at that time. And it's important just to keep that in mind. Sometimes people feel there's an urge, had I been able to hug my wife, it would make things easier. It's important to just acknowledge one has to be extra sensitive to this issue of hormones during the time immediately following one's birth. But even for men who might not be affected by hormones as much might sometimes find it difficult also. The new change in the family structure, responsibilities, those are just things to be aware of. And generally, they could exist with the man or the woman or both. Also, when going through a period when one is going to stop the bleeding after birth, it's not abnormal for the bleeding to start and then stop. Most often, if a woman has a period, once the period stops, then there might be a trickle, a day or two that she might have thought she's tahora, then she finds out she still has to consider as part of her period. But by and large, once it's stopping, it stops. For birth, it's much more normal for her to find that she starts her zainatim, she starts having days that are clean, that she has no dam, and in the middle she has dam again, the third day, the fourth day. And the reason seems to be for the same thing that we said a minute ago. If she is healing, not just hormonally stopping, it's possible for her to do something which is going to restart the blood flowing. Because of that, it's important for a woman to try, if she can, during the weeks after she gives birth, to not be so involved in labor. Labor and not the labor that she gives birth, the labor that she's just doing things. She doesn't do so many things. Of course, it's a little bit funny if she just has a new baby that she has to take care of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for her not to be involved in labor, just picking up the baby and putting the baby down in the crib to be labor enough. But as much as you can, it's to die to avoid physical labor, because that can sometimes help the uterus heal quicker. The next situation which causes nidus in of itself is even before birth, labor itself. It happens to be there's a machlokas aposkim with a wide range, what causes labor, what causes nidus during labor. Is it from somewhere, as some would say, from as far back as when the water breaks? Or is it much later? Usually I tell people it's when a person is in active labor, but there's a range. Asel harav, ask a shayla, whoever you ask shaylos to, ask them before you have that situation of labor, to know when indeed the situation of nida will start. But sometime before a woman actually gives birth, at least when she's in active labor, the situation of nida will take place, and therefore the harchatos that we'll learn about soon will apply. One last point about labor is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, when he made a woman's body able to have a child, also made the cervix that we discussed last time, the cervix which is the bridge between the vaginal canal and the uterus. The cervix is plugged up so no infection can come into the uterus. It's plugged up with mucus, and that's there for most of the time a woman is pregnant. It's fairly common that when a woman is close to giving her child, the mucus plug will be shed by the body. And we understand why, because the body is getting ready to have the baby come out. And that can be very scary, because for most, if everything is healthy with the woman's pregnancy, she should not really have any dam during the whole time that she's expecting, or most of the time. As we discussed, the whole point of dam nida is that there's no fertilization of the egg, so the nutrient sheds. But if there's a baby there, there should be no nida. All of a sudden, after 8 or 9 months, she now has a lot of red in the toilet. So often her first reaction will be, oh, I had a period. So on the phone. Very often it's the mucus plug. it's not something which you can decide yourself, but it's a very important trial to be aware of. Asel Harav, no, such a thing might exist. And of course, if you know it's a mutual spoke, should it be Tamea? No, as we discussed, that meat is only from the Makar, from the uterus. This is from the cervix. It should not be a problem, but beware about it, beware of it, and ask for that. A third situation, which is more in theory than in practice, which could very easily cause a woman to be Tamea Nida, either Minatara or Mizrabanon, is doctor's visits. Doctor's visits could, in theory, cause Nida status, although practically they don't. 99% of cases of a woman visiting a doctor nowadays does not cause any Nida status at all. But, Sai Sims, an educated consumer, is our best customer. So, know what's going on. You should make sure to be aware. For example, a very common procedure a woman should have once a year is a pap smear. Pap smear is a test for a Hanotlan cervical cancer. That is really cervical. That's not going to enter into the uterus. Usually it's not a problem. Even though, it's, as a side effect of a pap smear, sometimes a woman can spot. If she knows that it's a pap smear, it should not be a problem altogether. It's always important to know what's going on. Every so often a doctor does need to take something from the uterus, and that's a serious shaila. If he enters the uterus and even scrapes off a little bit of a specimen from the uterus, it's a very serious shaila. So know what's going on, although don't be concerned. Usually it won't end up being a problem. The last of the four cases which are not neither situations that are normal periods. So far we have birth, labor, and doctor's visits. Number four is the situation of a kala after bias mitzvah. Min HaTorah, when a woman has her first experience with her husband, when the bias mitzvah takes place, when the marriage is consummated, there's no reason for her to be a nida, even if she bleeds, because the hymen, the basulim, are very far removed from the uterus. They're the opening of the vaginal canal. So in reality, there's no nida there altogether. But Chazal decided midrabanan, that is considered the status of nidus. It's only midrabanan. But as the same halacha of nidus, as if a woman is a nida min HaTorah. Again, biologically it's not damnida at all, but it's a chumra midrabanan. There's one difference, we didn't talk about this idea yet, that before a woman can zayin hakim, you just wait 5 buffer days. The one kula is that after bias mitzvah, a kala needs to only wait 4 buffer days. We'll talk about it a little bit more in the future, but it's important to realize, by and large, this is not nudeya. In today's day and age, whether it's good or bad, as machlokas authorities, most women regulate their periods somehow, and know that the period is going to start sometime soon after the chasim. Even if they're not, even if they're just using nature, a wedding is scheduled that soon after the chasana, within a few days, a woman's going to enter a period. So usually, we kill 2 birds with 1 stone. Usually, she's still healing from the bias mitzvah, and she's going to get her regular period anyway. So this idea that is more in theory than in practice, 4 days as opposed to 5 days, which again we'll elaborate on more later, is really not usually no daya, because usually becomes a full-blown period anyway, right after bias mitzvah. Usually, well, usually there's maximum 2 weeks. Usually, woman has a period once a month. So usually, it should coincide, and usually it doesn't have to, but usually it coincides sometime soon after the period is going to start, and then it's going to be a period anyway. What happens when a kala is together with her husband for the first time? There are 2 tnaim which are very easily said, but not so easily necessarily understood. The 2 tnaim. One of either 1 or 2, which make a woman into a nida the first time she was with her husband, are number 1, if she has complete penetration, total hachnasas ha'iver is going to make her into a nida. And then she's a nida, midrabanon, even if there's no dam. A concern is maybe some dam was there, just got lost. Complete penetration makes her tamea, midrabanon, even without any dam whatsoever. Alternatively, if she's with her husband, and as happens with many, many situations that we'll talk about Bezal Hashem a little bit later, it's possible for her to be with her husband, there's only partial penetration, partial knisa saver. Still, if there's dam, she's going to be considered as having dam basulim, she's going to be tamei midrabanan anyway, even though there's no complete penetration. So the 2 rules are either complete penetration or partial penetration with dam. It's very easy to know about in theory. It's much harder for Yisrael Kadoshim, for people that have not been involved with sexual activity beforehand, to really know what's going on exactly halacha maisa. But those are the 2 klalim. Usually, this series of chasim shurim and given public, and then afterwards, if a person would like, before the actual chasana, we talk about more the details of the chasana, both in general, the concepts surrounding the first night, and in general, marriage, and we go into this in more detail. If each person would like, please feel free to contact me so we can do that privately. But the general concept is easy to know, either complete penetration or partial penetration with dam. But don't be embarrassed or afraid. Asel Harav, if you don't know what happened exactly, ask. Feel comfortable asking whoever you ask shailos to. The Aruch Shulchan writes, Davar Baduch Menuse. He says he's seen many, many times that a woman is with her husband the first time, and she has some dam. Then all of a sudden she goes to the mikveh, and 2 weeks later, if she comes back from the mikveh, she's going to have dam again. The basulim were not completely removed the first time. Says Aruch HaShulchan, that's going to make her into a nidam and rabbanan again, dam basulim again. However, despite the fact that Aruch HaShulchan writes that such a thing is true, and it happens, it's very common to happen, it's not unheard of. Lamaisa, Ravadi writes in the Sefer Taras Abayas, where Willard Pasch in this way, the Psaf of many postulim is that we say that that's true. If they know about it after the first time, she's going to be considered Tameya Vidrabanan again. But the only time she should be somewhat aware of what's going on is Bias Mitzvah. Once Bias Mitzvah is finished, yes, if she would see the Dam, she'd be Tameya. But there's no need to know about it. So the policy of what you don't know can't hurt you already starts from after the first minute together, we already have what you don't know can't hurt you. Don't look. If you would look and know about it, and the Chanam, it might be a problem, but there's no need to know about it whatsoever. Similarly, if a person does know about it, and it's only found in a situation of Kesem, let's say it's on Savonim, that would be considered Tahor. It's not going to be considered a problem. Only the first time they're together, Chazal or Dozer, a special din of Dam Basulim, to make her into a Nidam and Jabalim. Similarly, the first night also, there's no need to take a flashlight and look on every inch of wherever they are to see if there's Nida, see if there's dam. It means they should be somewhat aware. There's no chiv to b'ditos and check, hey, with the psalm broken, yes, no. No need to be overly aware. If it happens, you would know about it. And one important footnote, which is both biological and halachic. Sometimes people are colored by the psukim in the Torah that talk about dam b'sulim, women having a lot of dam, and seeing that it's fairly common to have dam, is even a bracha that some Yishonim suggest one should say without Shema Malchus after seeing Dam Basulim. Biologically, it's very common not to have Dam Basulim. Because biologically, once the Psukim are talking about a woman who is a Naira, she's 12 years old, then the hymen is much softer, and it's common to be broken with Dam. As a woman matures, sometimes the hymen can have perforations, it can sometimes pull back by itself, it can be much easier to just penetrate, and therefore, despite the fact that a woman is a Basula, a total Basula, there might not be any Dam Basulim. If there's no Dam Basulim, then it depends. If this complete penetration was still Choshesh, but it's not a point of concern whatsoever. Similarly, sometimes women use tampons, which are a way, as we mentioned, a way of absorbing the Dam which goes, she puts inside her body. Those tampons also are not a concern of breaking the Basulim, breaking the hymen, because often when a woman is more mature, the hymen can be, first of all, it has a perforation itself, or else Dam Nida couldn't come out. How does Dam Nida come out? Dam Nida comes out through a perforation, but Chutz Mizeh, often as a woman is older, the hymen can bend or move in an easier way, and there's nothing wrong with using tampons before she is with her husband. So, Ad Kan, we've discussed the situation of a woman who sees even Tipas Dam Pechardo, whether she's Tmei Minatara, Midrabanan, and other situations which make her Tmei Minatara, Midrabanan. We're going to move now to removing the status of Tumah. Once she is an Ida, whether it's Minatar or Midrabanan, how does she remove the status? The period during which she's removing the status of Nidus is known colloquially in the postum as the period of Zayinikim, the seven clean days. But in reality, the Zayinikim, these seven clean days, entail three specific things. Number one, when a woman has her period, the whole time she's bleeding, she has a chazaka. We presume that she still is bleeding. In order to stop that chazaka, that automatic presumption that the blood is continuing, and to prove that the blood stopped, she needs to, step one, do a hefsek tahara. Hefsek tahara is a prerequisite. Before the zayinikim, the seven clean days may be counted, she has to prove that the dam actually stopped. This is not one of the zayinikim, this is the prerequisite. she makes sure that she leaves the Cheskas Tuma and starts the Cheskas Tara. Then, part two of the Zaynikim are Beditos during 7 days. She has to check herself to make sure that during the next 7 days, there's no blood. These days must be continuous, but they're not related at all to the Hefsa Tara. The Hefsa Tara is also a Bedika, but that Bedika is before the Zaynikim. She then needs 7 more clean days to make, during which she checks herself, make sure there's no blood during those days. And part number 3, which is a minhag. It's a minhag which is a strong minhag of Ashnaz. The Bnei Dut HaMizrach have a different approach to this altogether. They're much more lenient in this. The minhag is to wear white undergarments, bedadim levanim, during the Zaynikim. We don't need to go through each of these 3 things, the Hefsa Tara, the Zaynikim, and the Levishos Levanim, in order. Hefsa Tara. Hefsa Tara, it's important to realize, is before the Zaynikim start. It has to be on a day which is not one of the Zaynikim. The day before the Zaynikim. It makes sure the Zaynikim begin with a confirmed status of Tara. And it's always day zero before the 7 days. So never count, don't make the mistake of counting the Hefsa Tara as one of the first days of Bedika. Hefsa Tara is a Bedika that has to be done before Zaynikim start. When I say Bedika, usually women have certain types of clothes. They buy usually mikvah, so they sell different places that she could use in order to check herself. Some posts can point out the best thing to use for Bedika is her husband's old undershirts. Because if you have a cotton undershirt that's washed over and over and over again, becomes so soft, people might find that even better to use. Either way, there has to be some sort of white cloth that's used, that's clean, in order to check herself. The details of checking are usually done through by a talit. We don't need to go through details, because men don't do the beditos. But it has to be done as a tara day zero, then, not related, 7 days of Zaynikim. The earliest time a woman can go have a tara, earliest time, is on the 5th day when her period starts. So she has her period, and periods goes, let's say, 1, 2, 3 days, she has to wait 2 more days before doing the Hefsa Tara. What's the reason? Menat Torah, she can do it as soon as her period stops. But the concern is they weren't talking about Paletah Shukha Zera. It's a very funny din. If a woman has Shukha Zera, she has Zera from her husband come out of her during the Zaynikim, she's not going to undo the Zaynikim, but that day that she's Roa doesn't count. So it's funny. I mentioned before the Zaynikim has to be continuous. What if on day 2 of the Zaynikim, she has Zera come out of her body? Then we say that she has day 1, pause, and then what she thought would be day 3 would be day 2, and then keep on going until day 8. So it's a very funny din. It doesn't get rid of the Zaynikim, it's not Soser them, but it's not Ola, it doesn't count. That idea of the Zaynikim somehow being skewed was very concerning. So Chazal said, a woman cannot count in any situation that she has a concern, she might be Paletah Shukla Zera. Which means it's possible she's with her husband, she has a period that day, then the next day she's going to be Paletah Shukla Zera, she thinks that day could already count Zaynikim, but it can't because she's Paletah Shukla Zera. Therefore, Chazal said, if there's any possibility for it to be Roa Shukla Zera, Paletah Shukla Zera, we say it can't count Zaynikim. The complex situation without the Chafat Cheshman in the Gemara, so we presume, how many days is it that what's the maximum amount of time that she is not going to be considered Paletah Shukla Zera? Shukla Zera, we presume in Halacha, has potency for 72 hours, for 3 days. But, aside from the exact cheshbon, the maximum amount of time those 3 days could last is 5 days. If she spreads 72 hours over 5 days, it lasts those 5 days. So the concern is, any of those 5 days from when her period started, since earlier that day she could have been with her husband, we say those 5 days that she might be within the 72 hours of Paletah Shukla Zera don't count as Zaynikim. Which means, says the Gemara, even if she never was with her husband, even if her husband was far away, Lamai says, she can never count Zaynikim before 5 days from when her period started. Which means, her period starts, let's say, today. Today is Thursday. So Thursday, day one, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, after Cyrus, first can be done on Monday. Zaynikim only counts on Tuesday. Yes, first day is included. We presume that it's from exactly when the period starts. And here's one difference in Shulchan Aruch between Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. The Yehudit HaMizrach start this, they only count 4 days in Shulchan Aruch, and Bnei Ashkenaz do 5 days. However, many Sfaradim posts, including Rav Avadya, write that Bezman Hazeh, most people from Yehudit HaMizrach do 5 days as well. But it's interesting to know that's a machlokas in Shulchan Aruch. The point is usually moot.
to do the
Hasatara? To the Hasatara, from when the period starts. The point is usually moot, because most periods last approximately 5 days. So, the case I gave is very theoretical. She has a period today, then she stops, she wants to start Zainikim tomorrow. It almost never happens. That period means the dam keeps from coming out for a few days. Usually the period starts and stops within 5 days, sometimes even 6 days. So, usually at the end of the day of day five, women try and before Shtir to get the Hasatara. So, in theory, day four might be nice and convenient, but it doesn't happen very frequently. Usually it takes around 5 days for a woman to stop her period. Anyway, anyone that has this chumra bechlal, a woman would have to wait because Zainakim can't start if she's still sitting down. When do we say that the period starts? If you think about it, what are we concerned about for Paletza Shifra Zara? We're concerned that she was with her husband, which means we say that if her husband's in Timbuktu on a business trip, that's not going to be good enough. Lo kud, Chazal say that she's not allowed to count that as day one. But what if she has a kesem on Monday, but her period only starts Tuesday? We already mentioned that according to many postim, once a woman has a kesem, she should already be parted from her husband in case it develops into a period. Which means there's a halachic reason that she already was considered asura to her husband from a day earlier. If that's true, what's the first day that can count as the day of the 5 days for Paletza Shifra Zara? Already that Monday. If there's a halakhic reason for an account, which is continuous. Of course, if that ends Monday night, then Tuesday morning she starts her period, but there was a time that could have been together in between, that's not good enough. But if there's some sort of halakhic reason they can't be together, then we're meitul. And we presume not only halakhic reason for Nida, what about Yom Kippur? What about Rechon Otzan Avelos, Tisha B'Av, any situation which is halakhic, which lets her and him not be together, is going to be enough to say that can count to the first day of day five in order to be considered able to count to the Hefsek Tara at the end of day five. Rav Moshe also writes, as far as Hefsek Tara, Rav Moshe's the Tshuva, in which he discusses the fact that although Ashnaz usually says 5 days, B'Shas L'Chach, a person can be made over 4 days. And Shas L'Chach doesn't mean the husband's going away for 4 months necessarily. It depends. Hakolchi Yeros Inei Hamora. In each situation, a person has to ask, what's the situation that I'm in? Is it enough to count 4 days instead of 5 days? And you'll be surprised. It's important to know that, of course, a person can't decide it by himself, but Asei L'Charav, it is not beyond the halakhic scope of possibility that a person can count only 4 days sometimes instead of 5 days, even for Ashkenazic communities. So Rav Moshe has an unbelievable case. Rav Moshe writes, it used to be, we know, of course, part of being a Jew in New York is that in the winter you're in New York, in the summer, of course, you're in the Catskills. It's part of being a Jew. Mamela, the problem though, part of that is also the wives and kids go to the Catskills the entire summer. Husbands go late Thursday night or Friday morning and leave back to work late Sunday night. So Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, they're in the city, and then they come back again Thursday night. So what's the halacha? Let's say a woman is supposed to go to the mikvah Monday night. Only if she counts 5 days. But if her period stopped and she could count 4 days, she'd be able to go before her husband goes back to the city. Rav Moshe writes, there we can be mekel. If they go to the bungalows, we can be mekel on 4 days. That does not mean necessarily. Now, as you think about it, Rav Moshe, what was the shas of the chak there? What happens if the husband travels 2 hours? Let him travel Monday night for 2 hours. He'll be tired in the morning. He'll have to leave 4 o'clock in the morning back to the city. Okay, so that's not crazy. Is that shas of chak gadol? You have to ask yourself. Rav Moshe still says we can make it on 4 days instead of 5 days. So each situation has to be judged by post independently to see if it's enough to say 4 days instead of 5 days. Again, it doesn't always work. Sometimes the period lasts 5 days, then you're up to the creek without a paddle. You can't do anything about it because that's metzius rather than halachic. And as we mentioned, since the Hefsek Tara sets the table for the Zainikim, Hefsek Tara cannot be on the same day as Zainikim. It's always day zero. Chod v'lo yavar. It must be done before sunset in order to consider that day zero. It means Zainikim have to become the next day and the days after. Once the sun sets, Hefsek Tara cannot be done to count that day. Let's say a woman then is her period stopping as it's Monday. So Monday, as she is coming, she wants to do Hefsek Tara. She wants to count Tuesday's day one of Zainikim. The only way such a thing can be done is if she does Hefsek Tara for period of time before Shia. It must be before Shia. Done a minute after Shia doesn't count. Verizon oftentimes very much into play in respect to Shilas. My wife went to do Hefsek Tara. She looked on her phone, and right after she came out of the bathroom, she saw her Verizon cell phone, which of course we know is always precise. said that Shia was a minute ago. Does that count or not? Bryce is someone who always comes in, and Bryce is the official shopkeeper of from families. But that's not good enough. Shia waits for no one. She is no one. I'm sure Adam, Rav Tendler, disagrees. Rav Moshe is a famous tshuva. Rav Moshe is more makeup. Rav Moshe says a person has a cushion of a few minutes after Shia. Rav Moshe is a das yachid. Those in Ishaios, so Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe, color the vote. But by and large, that's a tremendous das yachid of Rav Moshe. We say Shia waits for no one, must be before Shia. If not, there is no other solution. Again, I say look around, find out with the person you don't get a child's two holds. But Bederek Klal, don't play with fire. Make sure it happens before Shia. And that means a minute. A minute. Shia waits for no one. As the clock's going to be changed this week, so it makes it even harder. Imagine one has to have Saptara before mid-afternoon. And then, not only is it going to be before mid-afternoon, that means the water has to stop. It's not so easy. Should it work? But make sure it must be done before Shia. Have Saptara really ever can be done in the morning. That's fine. Not always feasible, but after Shia. After Shia will count, it'll just be the next day. She wants to count Monday as day zero and Tuesday as day one. Have Saptara is done 5 minutes after Shia, so Tuesday will be day zero, Wednesday will be day one. It's not uncommon for a woman to find that as her Have Saptara time is approaching, she just can't get between Bedita. Sometimes because the blood is still flowing, but sometimes it's because the dam that had flowed yesterday is still in her body. There's residual blood. If there's residual blood, halachically it's going to come up in a bedita. We're not going to know that'll be a bedita tamea. But in reality, that's not so pashut. That's going to be dam, which is totally tahar. It's not going to be a problem. So how does she get rid of this blood? What does she do? There are two different ways of getting rid of the blood. One is take a bath. Takes a bath, that's often going to clean out her body. Alternatively, she can douche. Douche is the French word for shower. D-O-U-C-H-E. Douche is a shower. And in English, what it means is a way that a woman can clean her body internally to get rid of any fluid. Often it's used for women after they're with their husbands. This she can remove any zera that she wants to remove. But here it comes in very handy. A woman's going to be able to get rid of any residual blood and see if there's still dam coming that she knows her flow didn't stop. But if there's some residual blood, then she's going to be able to stop the dam. She's going to get rid of the dam, she'll be able to do a wonderful Saptara. Rav Moshe is the tshuva here. Rav Moshe writes in such a situation, after a woman cleans herself with a bath, or would seem to be with a douche, she has to wait 15 minutes before she does her Saptara. Rav Moshe's rationale is very simple. Rav Moshe says, come on, what if a person cuts himself, then goes to the sink and washes his hands, and then dries his hand with a paper towel? Is the paper towel going to be full of blood? Very possibly not, because you just washed off the blood. It takes 10 seconds to flow. So Rav Moshe says, so if she cleans herself in the bath, then she does a bedita, that's not a good Saptara. Didn't prove the dam stop, because Lamaisa, it takes a few minutes for the blood to start flowing. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. Lamaisa, the Chazanish argues. Chazanish, one of the Chazanish's proofs is very simple. He says, Rav Moshe, he doesn't quote Rav Moshe, he's not talking to Rav Moshe, but he says, if this is really true, that you need to wait before doing the Saptara, it should say so someone in Shulchan Aruch. It's a pretty big halacha. Nowhere in Shulchan Aruch does it say, or any other posik, that you have to wash, you have to wait before washing. In fact, there is a strong minhag in the Shulchan Aruch that before a woman does have satara, she should clean her body externally. Why? That's for her own good. She wants to make sure there's no blood externally that's stuck, that's going to give her a problem on her satara. The Chazanish says, it talks about washing. And nowhere does anyone ever say that if you have satara, that is going to be done right after washing, it's not going to be good. So the Chazanish says, make it basic. Have we passed him? Without tefila, it's good to be chashish for Rav Moshe. Of course, a person can do so. A person has time. A person can do a half satara. Wait 15 minutes. Definitely more ideal. But the other, if a person couldn't do it, there's room to rely on the Chazanish. Chazanish says, Chazanish says even the tefila. There's no concern whatsoever. I say, look, Rav, ask Rav Yerushalayim to what they would say in such a situation. But these are the two different approaches. Rav Moshe, usually I tell people it's the tefila. Chazanish is the other. Also, in a svara, it makes sense that a woman shouldn't keep on doing her satara one after the other, because then also, if she has blood and keeps on rubbing, it's possible for 10 seconds the blood stop. That produced between her satara. But Lamaisa, we presume Rav Willard passes this way, that if a person is trying to beat the clock, she can even do her consecutive satara. Even though in a svara, a person is probably better not to, because it's not such a good satara. But Lamaisa, if a person's up against the wall, a person may do consecutive satara until one comes out clean. One comes out. going to be okay. And don't think, hey, what are you doing here? This is going to be a curious. It's never going to be a curious, first of all, for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is, if she really has her flow, she'll have that sometime later. The defilas won't come out here. So it's not as if she's using some halakhic imagination to create a reality which is not true. There's another part of the Hefsek Tara, which the Shulchan Aruch quotes, which is, must be done l'chatchila. That's Moch Tochut, Memvav Chaf, Dalad Ches Vavkuf, Moch Tochut. Moch Tochut literally means cotton which is pressed. It comes from the Gemara, to the Rishonim, to the Shulchan Aruch HaHalacha, that if a woman wants to do the best Hefsek Tara possible, she shouldn't only check herself before Shtia, but from the period of time from before Shtia until after Tzeis, she should have cotton in the vaginal canal to make sure that there's no more blood, because that's going to really be a good bedikah. That's going to make sure there's no flow, nothing's coming down. That is chatchila. It's important to realize the moch tochuch does not replace the hefsek tara, because hefsek tara bedikah has to be done very carefully b'chur nistachin throughout the entire vaginal canal. Moch tochuch is just there. It's not the same way bedikah is done. So moch tochuch cannot replace a bedikah, but it's a fancy bedikah which is an addition.
This is
after the Hefsek Tara, from the period of before Shtia till after Shtia. How much after Shtia? Since the Moch Tochuch is only a Chumrah, we would say somewhere from between 20 minutes to half an hour. You don't need to have her in the Tam's Shtia, even if you're Makon or in the Tam's Seis for Yetzias HaShabbos. You don't need to have it from Moch Tochuch. The whole idea of Moch Tochuch is a Chumrah L'chadchila. 20 minutes is enough, half an hour definitely enough for that Moch Tochuch. However, Rav Willig often tells people that even though it's l'chatchila and Shulchan Aruch, since the Bidiyavid is not necessary, there's absolutely no need to have Seftar B'chval b'zman hazeh. People are very sensitive nowadays. If they take what people usually use, the Bidiyavid cloth, and put it inside for Moch Tochuch. I said Seftar? I'm sorry. Okay, no. Scratch that. There's no need for Moch Tochuch. There's no need for Seftar, you bet you need, right? For sure. There's no need for Moch Tochuch. Because people, sometimes it can do more harm than good. People are very sensitive, sometimes people are rushed, people sometimes scratch themselves, and this l'chatchila of Moch Tochuch is going to create a bidyeved that a woman is going to have an extra day or two because she scratches herself, she has irritation when she really didn't need to do so. It's only l'chatchila, or Rulik happens to hold, even aside from l'chatchila, no one really does l'chatchila. It seems from the Gemara and Medina Mida that Moch Tochuch means a woman should take a lot of cotton and stuff up in her entire vaginal canal. No one does that. People use bidikah cloths. You'll see bidikah cloths usually have a little bit of a thread, a string, at the end of them, to let a woman use that for a moch tochuch. But since l'maisa, you're not doing it for a moch tochuch anyway, so it's even worse. You're doing it as pseudo moch tochuch. L'maisa, you're not helping. Don't do it at all. So Rav Willig tells people, when he's private, he tells people there's no need to do the moch tochuch whatsoever. I usually tell people, even if they're not following Rav Willig's psukim, that at least for the first year, it's very good idea not to use moch tochuch, because in general, until a woman knows her own body's sensitivity, it's not kedai to start with more and then, unfortunately, scratch herself and go to less. Start with less. If she sees that it's totally fine, then if she wants to do it, tabula habraka. But I usually tell people the first year not to use it moch tochuch because of the more harm that it can cause than good. There is one difference between B'nai Adut Mizrach and Ashkenazim in that the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if a woman has a ri'iyah, and during the day of the Re'iyah, she's going to do a Hefsek Tara. This is not in a peasant. She has a real Re'iyah, let's say, during one of the days of Zayin Nekiyim. She has to start again. So Shulchan Aruch says, if during the day of Re'iyah, she's going to do a Hefsek Tara that day, according to Ashkenazim, she does not need to moch tochuch with the Eved. So we have the same thing we just discussed in every case. But the Mechaber holds that if on the exact day she has a new Re'iyah, she's doing a Hefsek Tara, that same day, then moch tochuch is ma'at. That's the one case that for B'nai Edut Mizrach would have to have an extra chumrah. Again, most times a woman has Zayin Nekiyim. During the middle of Zayin Nekiyim, she sees Dan, it's going to be a testing, it's going to be somewhere that it just fell. But if she has a flow that starts for some reason during Zayin Nekiyim, and she's going to the Hefsek Tara Bo Bayom, according to the Mechaber, she needs to do Moch Tochuch, which is Ma'at. That's the one case we would say you can't get rid of Moch Tochuch. Only for, but Ashkenazim, the Ramah says there's no need, that's still the other situation is only a chumrah Chathiwa. So for Ashkenazim, everything is straight. There's no need to moch tochuch ever. It's always special with the other. For B'nai Edut Mizrach, it's the one case Mechaber says you need to do it. Other than that, there's nothing to talk about whatsoever. Then all the cases would be the same with chatchila that would apply for B'nai Ashkenazim. The next part of a woman's Tara process are the Zainakim, the seven clean days. After the Hafsatara, she has seven clean days. What does that mean? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Chatzila. Zainakim must be two berichos each day. One in the morning, one in the evening. That's l'chatchila. So l'chatchila she should be doing 15 bedikos to make herself tahora. One have satara, and then 14 during zainikim, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. However, there are several levels of bidyeved in this situation. Number one, bidyeved, the Shulchan Aruch holds that one each day is also okay. You don't need to do two each day. Which would mean that if a person finds herself in any way sensitive, the chlal, speak to a rav, who will tell her, instead of doing two each day, she should do one each day. Even the Mechaber quotes this idea of one each day is fine. Rav Willard, based on the reading of the Rishonim, Rav Willard thinks that it's a chumra yisera, that even l'chatchila, you only need one each day. So, you have to read the Rishonim carefully. So Rav Willard will tell people, l'chatchila, only do one each day, there's no need to do two each day. And again, what if the Shulchan Aruch says do two? Yetzchar Rav Seder, sometimes you can do more harm than good by creating extra sensitivity or extra scratching for no reason. But the standard approach, for those that are not familiar with Rav Willard's Pesachim, Shulchan Aruch says two each day. But even then, in the case of sensitivity, a person should definitely reduce it to one each day. The next B'dyeved, the B'dyeved Shv'dyeved, the Mechaber says, is that even if a person didn't do anything for most of the days, as long as she did B'dyeved day one, first day, and day seven, the last day, that's going to count. So L'chatchila, two each day. B'dyeved, and the Mechaber says, L'chatchila, one each day. And Mechaber says, B'dyeved is only one and seven. Even though we mentioned that in theory, she should only do day one and day seven, going to work with the Evid, if a woman has a medical condition or something which is ultra-sensitivity, she has perhaps has some procedure that was done that's going to cause spotting and make the beat very hard during Zainakim, then she, for her, it would be able to only do one and seven. But even in such a situation, her woman always says, Lamaisa, don't do just one and seven. Just think, what happens if she forgets day one? I'm sorry, she does day one, if she forgets day seven, what happens? She loses her all Zainakim. She can't do 1 and 8. It has to be 1 and 7. So if she does just 1, not doing anything the entire days, then 1 through day 7, and then let's say it's a short day, like she's going to start next week, she's going to be in trouble. The 1 and 8 don't count. It must be 1 and 7. However, what if she does, let's say, day 1, 2 and 7? Then, if she forgets day 7, she'll make day 2 into her new day 1, and what would have been day 8 into day 7. So then you have a safety net. So even though in principle, the other 1 and 7 are the other okay, and for some people, it'll feel up, never do that practically because you're going to sometimes mess yourself up, and it's very common to forget. 1 and 7 is going to be just start again. If she does, if she does day 7, she doesn't have to start all the way again from the beginning of day 8 as day 1 and wait a whole other week. So never do it. Theory 1 and 7, the other 1, 2 and 7, 1, 3 and 7, sometimes make her have a safety net. During these times that she does the bedikos, during Hefsatara or Zainatim, any blood found on the deep cloth is a problem. Remember we talked about the idea of gris. Gris only applies for ksamim, for something which is a spot. But internal bedika, a tiny bit of blood can be a problem. Many times, it's very common, although bedika cloths, when you'll see them, look white, they probably are bleached. It's very common for there to be tiny threads that somehow make their way into bedika cloths. Some of those threads are red. Very common. And after one trains his eye, postim already know how to distinguish between a thread and dam. But, most of the time. But, despite the fact that it looks like it's such a tiny amount, imagine it's only a thread, if it would have to be dam, that would be a problem. So it's important to realize, don't make the mistake people make. Any dam found on a bedik cloth is a problem. However, what you think is red is very, very often not red. Don't think, I'll be nasfa al tisha'in, do not rely on your own judgment. Very, very often, what you think is red is bechal not red. There's a famous joke with the Chassidus Rebbe. It's known the Chassidim have a reputation, specifically being very makel in Maros Hadam. So once there was a Rebbe who was driving this car, and all of a sudden he sees an officer behind him. Pulled him over. He said, "Officer, what seems to be the problem?" He said, "Sir, you just went through the red light." He says, you think that was red? That wasn't red. It's very common to have things that you think sometimes are red, and the Bechal, they're not red. Ask. And these are where most shilas come up. There are shilas that you can ask on the telephone, which come up throughout the month. But the most common shilas, the person has to bring the matter to a rav. Common shilas come up in a situation where a person has, during the Zainatim, bedikos, or summon, to know whether they have good satara or good bedikos. And here also, we have the idea, Silcha Rav, do not feel embarrassed. Don't hold yourself back. Rabbanim view this as part of Torah. This has nothing to do with a person's own sensitivity, feeling squeamish. Rabbanim, it's psafik, anything else. But Rabbanim are also aware of people's own sensitivity to the matters. Many people let people as Shilas Anonymous, whenever someone asks me to show me a Mara, they should tell them that they are welcome to just leave the Mara for me with an envelope with just a cell phone number on it. I don't need to know who's asking, unless there's some complex issue. I don't need to know who's asking the Shilas, and unless they follow up, anonymity is totally fine. I'd say 98% of people will just leave their name. I mean, people are Bakal, not streamish, they don't feel awkward. They realize it's a Torah. So in such a situation that a person does feel awkward, it's important to temper that with feeling comfortable. But remember, I say al-Kharab means it's up to you to pick who you ask shilas to. You find a person you feel comfortable, and your wife as Hashem feels comfortable asking shilas to, and to remove this from your shakti. It's important to realize that for Rabbanim this is part of the beautiful zuchus of Teres Hashem to Mima. There's even the last point we're going to discuss for today is the idea of wearing bedazim levanim. A woman is supposed to wear bedazim levanim lechatila, more for ashkenaz than for b'nei edut mizrach. And if a woman does have such dam during zayinatim, what's the status of blood found on white undergarments? It's going to be only a kesem. If it's a bedikta, it's a bedikta. But here it's found on undergarments, it's going to be a kesem. And as we discussed, on a kesem, there's no chiyuv for a woman to make herself tameya. If she makes herself, if she finds dam, which is more than drish, she is going to be tameya. But if she finds it, it's accumulating, like I mentioned before, if she finds dam, keeps on building up, what's she allowed to do? She can change. There's no chiyuv to make herself tameya. She should be aware what's going on. But there's no chiyuv to make herself tameya, and worse for worse, it's only going to be a kesem anyway. If there's a situation that a woman thinks that she does have some situation of being more prone to spotting, let's say she had some medical issue which is going to make her have dam, which might be tar, but going to cause more spotting, or sometimes, whatever the medical situation may be, a rav will often advise her to forego this minhag, and for that time to wear colored garments, because we mentioned that colored garments have no problem with chesamim. So it's an important thing to know, not to pass on yourself, of course, but just to know that sometimes there are situations where a woman might forego the minhag of wearing levanim, or it's avonim, and that still is considered l'chatchila, there's no chiv to make herself tamei.
Then why do we
good question. The Poskim seem to say, for a variety of reasons which seem to zero in on the fact that it's really to be make on her. We want her to know what the situation with her body is, to make sure that she has no dam from before day one or day two that might make her tameya. Erroneously, we said she should wear levanim, that she knows she's starting off with a clean slate. So it's really meant to help her. Well, maybe sometimes it makes it harder, but that's part of the minhag. But if it's going to hurt her by keeping them on, there's no need for her to keep them on. She can instead wear bedadim tzivonim. And what does it mean, bedadim levanim? So Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, even though the postman talk about everything, her garments, her bed sheets being levanim levaisis, whenever a woman is wearing undergarments, that's enough. Since nowadays undergarments will catch any dam that's going to fall out, the only thing she needs to have is white undergarments. No sheets, no pajamas, nothing else. Anything that she's going to wear underwear for is going to be enough to get rid of the keep the minhag of wearing bedan levanim. Nothing else necessary whatsoever. We'll stop here. We'll continue the same time next week.